Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
You can mute the mic of the President of the United States, but you cannot silence the voice of the American people.
The President has one timeout left.
Joe Biden is in his basement because he can't carry a message.
We're talking about the presidency of the United States of America here.
Joe Biden is a corrupt politician.
Here's the bottom line.
Here's the bottom line.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom of this.
We've got to get to the bottom of this.
The bottom line on the Mark Cox Show.
That's the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this.
That's the bottom line.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. We're joined by my friend Jeff Smith this morning, executive director of the Missouri Workforce Housing Association, former Missouri senator. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Mark. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. I have one question for you.
I can't wait.
Where's Hunter? We know
where
his laptop
that for a long
is.
Time.
We know where his laptop is, but we can't find Hunter again this morning. He's missing in action.
You know, I think what Biden and some of the purported emails that came out, I actually think, at least from some voters that I talked to, some kind of regular people, that they portrayed Vice President Biden in a positive light. You could see his evident concern for his child, who he loved dearly, even as his son was in the throes of addiction. And, you know, it's when you think about Joe Biden's life in context, and I'm not spinning here, I'm just being honest. You think about somebody who lost a child as an infant, lost another son as an adult to cancer. He may have been a little indulgent of Hunter, and because he, you know, didn't want to lose another son, you know, while his son was again struggling with the challenges of drug addiction.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's still no shred of evidence that Joe Biden ever acted in a manner as a public official that benefited himself or his son.
He looked the other way. I think that's what these emails prove. I said earlier, it's not about Hunter Biden. It's about evidence that his dad has denied all along that he knew any of these people, that he ever met with any of these people, that he had any idea what Hunter was up to when he flew on Air Force Two to the Ukraine and to China. In the meanwhile, Hunter's raking in tens of millions of dollars in contracts because he referred to his guy in these emails. That was his dad. So he was making money on the family name. I couldn't do that as an elected official.
And God forbid the child of a politician make money on the family name when Jared and Ivanka reported $84 million of income last year while Jared and Ivanka were senior advisors at the White House.
Where are the allegations?
While the president's daughter was getting new patents in China while a White House advisor. It is, you know, Donald Trump, I admit, he rarely makes things up. What he actually does more often is he looks at the things that he has done that are shameful and then accuses other people of doing them.
Okay.
He had a Chinese bank account, and said, hey, Hunter had a Chinese bank account. Last night it came out that actually Trump had a Chinese bank account. This is his style. And, that's where we are.
Squirrel, you're talking about the shiny object over here. Listen for a moment. When you were a state senator in Missouri, you didn't have kids then. Is that correct?
I did not.
You did not have your kids. But if you had had an adult child at that point, and your adult child was profiting off his guy, which was you in the Missouri Senate, That would be an abuse of the system. That's what it is. Just like if I, when I was a councilman in Wildwood, if some member of my family was profiting off of my job position, that violates the public trust. That's what you have to focus on here.
And if Donald Trump were running against Hunter Biden, then I would tell you, and I will tell you today, Hunter Biden has probably done things that are smarmy and that were probably not appropriate. But he's not running against Hunter Biden. He's running against Joe Biden. And there still hasn't been a scintilla of evidence that Joe Biden acted in a way to help his son profit. Whereas there are reams of evidence that President Trump has been repeatedly compromised in service of his own profiteering.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't show me the picture of Trump with his arm around Jeffrey Epstein at some point and then ignore the fact that Biden posed with his arm around Poroshenko or whoever the guy's name is from Burisma. I mean, the left trots out that photo every time the Epstein story is mentioned. Well, look who Donald Trump used to associate with. You can't have it both ways.
I agree with that. I'm not trying to have it both ways. I don't care about any of Donald Trump's associations with Jeffrey Epstein. I care about Donald Trump's performance in office, like most of the American public.
Well, then you should be so impressed
at
what a great job
he's
done.
2/3 of the American public disapproves of his performance on the pandemic. That's why he's 10 points behind in national polls. That's why he's behind in most of the battleground states. Even on the economy, the issue that was his Trump card a year ago, now Biden has pulled even with him in terms of, you know, handling of the economy. And, you know, and I think that's, again, why the president is in the political predicament he's in. You know, he's desperate now to get some type of relief package. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi realizes that she has him over a barrel, that there's a huge schism between Senate Republicans who don't want to spend another $2 trillion and the president. And I think she's exploiting that pretty skillfully right now.
We don't have stimulus because of Nancy Pelosi. I almost called her Hillary. Same thing. We don't have stimulus because of Nancy Pelosi. She's been holding this up since August for nothing other than politics. Anyway, I'm going to run out of time here. What I promised that I would let you talk about today is, since you believe in second chances for people like Hunter Biden, you want justice-involved job seekers to get a second chance.
I do believe in second chance for all people, Mark, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about it for a minute. Through St. Louis University, we are hosting the country's largest virtual second chance job fair next week. It's a chance for people who made mistakes in life and have felony convictions but want to get back into the work world to make a 2 or 3 minute video of themselves talking about their qualities and their passions and how they've overcome adversity, and give employers a chance to watch those videos and then pick out people who they want to interview in person and hopefully hire. A lot of the folks who do commit crime, unfortunately, in the region are people who have prior convictions and are unemployed. So that one of the best ways to improve public safety is to help those people find, you know, meaningful work. And so that's what we're trying to do next week. And so if you're interested in potentially hiring someone or at least watching, you know, some of the videos and talking to some folks who may be seeking a job, then you can email me at jeff.smith@slu.edu.
Got it. We appreciate that. And be sure and pass that along to Joe Biden. Might come in handy one of these days. All right, Jeff,
okay,
you're a good sport, man. Thanks.
But I appreciate you giving me a chance to do that. You have a great day.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Good to get Jeff on here. Pass that along to Joe. He could use that
he
for
He truly
Hunter
is a good
some
sport.
Yes.
It's always fun.
314-241-9797. What say you? Your phone call's coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, this is far bigger than Jimmy Carter. I mean, this is an issue that's, I mean, his son walked around like a vacuum cleaner. But they say right in, look, this is the laptop from hell. They say right in the laptop that, you know, the big man has to get 10%, and then in another case, they say 50%.
Yeah, by the way, you know, the Biden people said, the attorney for Hunter Biden said, that's not our laptop, but by the way, can we have it back? That's not going to happen. Good Lord, what a mess they've got on their hands up there.
You know what, though? They're not even going to bring this crap up tomorrow.
The president will.
Right, but it will get blown past so quickly. I guarantee it doesn't get talked about.
The debate commission, this was supposed to be a foreign policy debate, and they've allowed the anchor, Kristen Welker, to change that and ask some of the same topics that Chris Wallace asked in the first debate. COVID, the economy, things like that. I understand why the president's mad about it, that he feels like they're working on his behalf.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point that everyone is working on Joe's behalf.
Oh, big tech running
the media
interference for
tech
him.
Companies.
Jeff Smith running interference for him. I mean,
Jeff Smith.
I'm
all
telling
of
you.
Them. They're all working for
they
Joe
all
Biden.
They all are working. No, but like right there, he had to. Well, what if, you know, Donald Trump's children have enriched themselves off? Donald Trump was famous a long time before he ever ran for office. They got more money than they could ever need. The president donates his salary in return for the grief that he takes every single day. Joe Biden has been in public service since the 73, I think it was. 73 or 74 is when he first got elected, which means he's made either a congressman or a senator's salary for all those years. Now, that's nothing to sneeze at, 180 grand a year, whatever it is now. But you have to maintain homes in two different cities. Even if you're a good saver, you're not going to have a $3 million tax bill in 1 year. That's what Joe Biden's tax bill was last year. Because they wrote a book or something. His wife's a teacher. These people are multi-millionaires.
I mean, aren't most politicians, aren't we used to that? Isn't that the swamp that Donald Trump ran against?
No, it absolutely is.
And the question here with Hunter is, was it illegal?
Where did the money go?
Yeah.
Where is it? Where's the money? They're smart. They put it in a bank account overseas somewhere. I mean, I assume they're smart. If money from Russia maybe it was funneled through Hunter's law firm, we don't know. But somebody needs to look into it.
Maybe they can find that $120,000 floating around St. Louis as well.
Maybe.
Oh, no, don't get him
See
started.
See what I'm saying,
you know,
right there?
I mean,
you're
I
on
just...
it. Eric Greitens needs answers. We all need answers.
We all need answers.
Hey, Jay, you're on the radio. What's on your mind? Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to give an input on Hunter Biden and the whole little investigation thing that's going on.
Yeah,
I just kind of think that it really shouldn't be a big deal. You know, we have Trump and Biden running against each other. I think that should be the most thing. But what's kind of crazy to me is that, you know, this Hunter Biden thing then came up, which was like what before President Trump. But when it came to Eric Trump, I mean, Donald Trump Jr. and the Trump Tower with the whole Russian oligarchs and everything about the adoption about the kids, which made no sense. No, he swept that under the rug. And I think those two are comparable, which is I think we should not be focused on those two. But I like listening to you guys. I am a registered independent, I would say, but more leaning to Democrat. But you guys do have good conversations, and I like listening to you guys.
Jay, we
appreciate
you calling.
Yeah, thanks, thank Jay. You.
Yep, thank you. I guess you know what I'm going to say. I don't see the comparison there with the meeting with the Russian in New York.
That wasn't about money.
Right. Changing
right.
hands.
That was supposed
well,
to be
the other thing people like to point out that how all of Trump's kids are so rich and all this and work in the White House. They work like mm-hmm. He doesn't just hand them, you know, I see a difference there between that and what Hunter Biden was doing, because what was his expertise? What was his knowledge? Why was he useful in these conversations in dealing with Ukraine, or was just because of a name? Like, I feel like the Trumps have earned their roles and their paychecks.
Listen, crack is a commodity, almost like natural gas in the Ukraine.
I mean, if you can serious.
Understand the fluctuations in the value of crack on the open market, then you could understand maybe how Ukrainian gas prices go up and down. I'm just speculating. I'm trying to help here. To your point, he wasn't qualified for anything he was paid for over there. Nothing.
And again, I don't know that I even think that anything illegal happened. It definitely seems corrupt, like that there's
That's
some icky
question.
Things going on here, but I don't know that I believe that there's anything illegal that happened.
Was it illegal, and did Joe Biden know what was going on and if it was illegal?
Part of graft is overpaying for something so that the amount you overpaid goes to somebody else's profit. That's the allegation.
Okay.
So
that's true.
I don't know. Is
Find
it true?
Out.
Is it valuable in this conversation? I don't know. The governor's coming up, though. He wants to talk about some comments by Cori Bush and Nicole Galloway. We'll get to that coming up.
I think Biden feels like he's up. I think they think they're up a lot. And when you're up a lot, all you got to do is run out the clock. Katie, the president has one timeout left. If this is the most consequential election in our country's history, then Thursday night is the most consequential debate in our country's history, and he should prepare and perform accordingly. I think it's his last best chance to change the trajectory of this race.
Trey Gowdy there on the debate tomorrow night. Do you agree with him? Disagree? I don't know. I mean, I look at these polls out. Biden's lead in Florida is down to 1 point. Does anybody in the room believe Joe Biden is ahead in Florida? Mm-hmm. Have you seen even one of the president's events down there? I don't buy that for a minute.
No, based on the billboards I saw in Florida, it's Trump country.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Of course, tomorrow, since tomorrow is debate day, that's going to be huge. We're going to get into more of that. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about the race right here in the great state of Missouri for the governor's office. And we have Missouri Governor Mike Parson on the phone with us this morning. Governor, how are you?
Fine, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thanks for giving me some time today. I appreciate that.
No, not a problem.
You know, I noticed this tweet by Cori Bush, who is, of course, running for Congress down here in the 1st Congressional District, and I was shocked when I read it. She said, I'll just read it verbatim here. Cori Bush says, if you're having a bad day, just think of all the social services we're going to be able to fund after we defund the Pentagon. So she's not just wanting to defund police. She's talking about defunding the military here.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'm aware of that statement. It is a lack of maturity. It is a lack of experience. And it is totally irresponsible to say anything like that, especially in the middle of a pandemic. And number one and foremost, our Missouri National Guard have been on the front lines for 8 months, delivering Remdesivir at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to all hospitals in the state to save people's lives. They've delivered millions of masks to kids, to the most vulnerable people in this. We did more mobile testing sites in the St. Louis region and in her region than anywhere else in the state of Missouri put together. These guys have delivered food to kids when they were out of school. They've been working in food banks when nobody else would work there because the volunteers didn't want to be safe, not to mention the regular deployments that they have. Plus, they've been on the front lines in civil unrest. To say something like that you want to defund the military, when the economy that Fort Leonard Wood, that Whiteman, that all our military installations, the NGA in St. Louis, for crying out loud.
Right.
You know, $30 billion worth of income to the state, 180,000 jobs. And even my opponent, when she supports that and say that's the new way, when you start talking about defunding the police and defunding our military, it is just – it's a dangerous road to go down and totally it's just incomparable, because whether you're a Democrat or Republican, in this state, we support our military. We support our law enforcement. It's just unfortunate to even say something like that in a time that we're in the middle of a crisis, along with all the other obligations our military has.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Governor. You know, I think somebody, some intrepid member of the media needs to ask Nicole Galloway, do you support defunding the military? Because here's what we do know. Nicole Galloway's been sending out emails fundraising off of her association with Cori Bush, and she asked Missourians to move forward in a new way with her and Cori Bush. So if she supports Cori Bush, who I believe Gene Evans has described as being a member of Missouri's squad, if she supports her, does she support defunding the military?
Yeah, and there's nothing about new way. That's the wrong way is what that is.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about supporting her, you support Elizabeth Warren, you support Bernie Sanders. I mean, go on down the list. They all support defunding the police. You don't get a pass. If you're going to run around with those people and you're going to live with their agenda, then we know what you're going to do if you ever had the opportunity to become governor. Thank goodness she's not going to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
I do not believe.
Well,
and listen, I'm an Army veteran, and I can tell you every veteran out there, when people talk about defunding our military, it's personal. 22 years wearing a badge, it's personal to me and all the way around. But for the people of this state, it's totally uncalled for. And again, it's just irresponsible. And that's not what we need for leadership. That's a lack of leadership.
No, couldn't agree more with that. And then you have to wonder, I mean, I don't know if Nicole Galloway is going to respond to that, but, you know, Jill Shoup, who's running for the 2nd Congressional District down here against Ann Wagner. I mean, somebody needs to ask her how she feels about that. She's been endorsed by Elizabeth Warren, and you have to assume that she'd be voting along with Cori Bush.
Yeah, look, this whole thing saying this is a new way and new things, this is just a small majority of people. I guarantee you the Democrats I know in this state do not stand for not supporting our law enforcement. They don't stand for people that say they want to defund our military, take away our military installations in this state. You know, most people support the flag of the United States of America. They believe in the Pledge of Allegiance and the Star-Spangled Banner. That's just who we are and who our values are in this state. And I'm going to represent those values. I could care less about party lines sometimes. Those are not party lines. Those are basic fundamental things that describe freedom. And we all need to hold on to them dearly.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Governor Mike Parson, our guest right now. And, you know, Governor, I've noticed that one of the headlines that your opponent is trying to drum up against you again here recently was your comment that you made to me a while back regarding the McCloskeys and whether or not you would consider a pardon for them if whatever is going on down here in the city actually results in a conviction of some sort. I guess I'm not convinced that it would, but I think you told us first here that you would consider that if it happened.
Yeah, well, if she said I said that I'm going to pardon him, she's got that right. That's the one thing I would say she got right. I definitely will pardon him if that ever occurs, you know. But, you know, you just can't believe the propaganda that comes out of there. It's like the old thing, the media likes to say we kicked 100,000 kids off Medicaid. We never kicked one kid off Medicaid. All we did was verify the rows, which is the law requires that, and she didn't do her job when she was here. So to put all this political spin on this, is just ridiculous. And I am not going to let somebody put people in jail for political purposes. And that's all that McCloskey deal is.
No, I agree. I agree with that. Absolutely. You know, Governor, while we've got you on here, how are we doing with the COVID fight here in Missouri?
Yeah, we're getting ready to brief on that. You know what? The entire Midwest is seeing a spike in that. I mean, the cases are going up. We're keeping a good eye on our hospitalization, but nothing we can't handle, nothing that we're prepared for this. We knew this was coming. And again, I think we're going to be averaging about 1,500 cases a day. But here's what I would say, Mark. The media is going to put a lot of information out there on daily numbers. And the daily numbers are very misleading if you just use it for propaganda-wise. For the Missouri people, for you, because I know you guys will do it right there, you need to look at the 7-day data. So you get a good idea of where we're going, because these spikes that they're referring to, most of that is just because of dumps of a lot of data, death certificates that haven't been turned in for months, and all of that stuff. So it's important that people really know the truth about this and where we're moving forward. But look, this virus is out here. It's serious. We got to do everything. We all got to come together, do our part to try to do as much as we can. But we have to deal with this situation. There is no magic wand that we can wave to get rid of this virus. And there's nobody to blame for a virus. It is a virus. And we just got to be able to figure out everything we can do to protect people.
Governor Parson, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Missouri Governor Mike Parson there talking about the Missouri squad. How about that? Cori Bush, Nicole Galloway, Jill Shoup. And one of them, Cori Bush, is going to defund the Pentagon if she gets to Washington, D.C. What are the other two going to do if they get elected? It's a question they all need to answer before the day's out, I think. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
When every power center in the nation, that includes big tech, big media, the finance establishments, the federal spy agencies, when every power center aligns behind a common political goal, you have a very dangerous axis. That is far too much power concentrated in one place. Normal people will inevitably be crushed.
An axis of evil, I think, is what Tucker was describing there.
It's kind of what it sounds like.
It's pretty amazing to me that the tech folks can get away with this. It really is. But there's going to be the DOJ's investigating Google. Josh Hawley's talking about bringing the Google and Twitter CEOs before Congress. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. Hopefully we get the senator on tomorrow. We tentatively got him scheduled.
Yep, we're hoping the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Yep, stay tuned for that. Let me get to Mike here on line one. Mike, good morning.
Morning, Mark. Let's get something really clear about Cori Bush.
Yeah.
It's going to be one person of 535 people, and there is no way that she's going to convince those other 534 people to do any kind of legislation. She is following in the footsteps of the most inarticulate man who ever sat in that position, and she's right there with them. So there's no chance this woman's going to do any kind of legislation while she's spending her 2 years in Congress.
But you see, Mike, I mean, here I wonder if some people that still have a little bit of sanity in Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis feel the same way. They wake up one morning and the crazies have taken over their city council or their state legislature. She's got Ilhan Omar, she's got Elizabeth Warren, she's got people in the Senate and the House, along with Nancy Pelosi, who are catering right now to the far left. It's not going to be long before there are enough of those votes to convince people to do something like this.
But that's only a few people, Mark. To get legislation through, you got to get a group of people, 218 people, to pass it in the House.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But I read an article this morning where there's one of these ratings services saying that there's a 75% chance the Democrats could take over the Senate. They're going to control the Senate. They're going to control the House, and if Joe Biden wins, they're going to control the White House.
Okay. All right. In 2 years, you and I will have a little wager. I'll pay for your shooting gallery membership at one of your sponsors for 5 years if she gets one piece of legislation through.
Wow. Okay. Mark the tape right there, Mike. I appreciate the call.
Call you back in 2 years, and then I'll go. I don't want anything from you. I just want to make sure that you understand she's not going to do anything. So worry about it, people.
All right, Mike, I appreciate that. That's one point of view. I mean, she managed to fool enough people in the first congressional district. She's going to go down and find a lot of like minds in Washington, D.C. And they may be a small squad right now, but AOC and these other folks are going to gain traction with the sheeple who don't pay attention to what's going on. The next thing you know, there's going to be a whole lot more of them in Congress, and they're going to start moving legislation. They're going to start negotiating, and they're going to get some of what they want, which in Cori Bush's case is moving money from the military to her beloved social programs. That's what she wants to do. And moving money from the police to their beloved social programs, which they think cure every ill. The government fixes all of it. That's their priority. Mike may be right. She may never sponsor a piece of legislation alone, but she's going to have some compatriots. Don't let it be Jill Shoup, and don't let it be Nicole Galloway. We don't need any more members of the squad. Trust me. All right, folks, tomorrow is debate day. Remember, tonight we're going to talk to Congressman Rodney Davis on the town hall at 6 o'clock on Facebook. Be there. Send in your questions. We'll get it done. We'll ask him what he thinks.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.